Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. All right, everybody, hands up. All of you have two hands. What gives? You read Jesus' words, right? He was very clear, wasn't he? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Are we confessing that we have done perfectly with our hands? I have two hands too. See? Of course not, right? But Jesus tells us that it is better for us to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. All right, who's got 2 feet? I have 2 feet. Still, my feet have taken me to places I probably should not have gone. That's absolutely true. But yet Jesus says that it is better to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. Anyone here ever look at something that they weren't supposed to look at? If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Why are we not maimed and miserable looking? Well, it's because Jesus isn't talking literally. He's using something that's called hyperbole. It's where you exaggerate something to prove a point. What is Jesus' lesson? Sin has consequences. We should consider, and in fact, that'd be a really extreme lesson, right? Consequences. If every time we sinned, we had to like cut off an appendage, yikes. But Jesus knows that sin doesn't come from my hand or my foot or my eye or my arm or anywhere else. Jesus knows that sin comes from the heart. But he wants us to understand that there are real consequences to what happens in our heart. So even if I lop off my arm at the elbow, I'm still going to be a sinner. But what do I do about it? I could do nothing about it, but Jesus is very specific about that too. If I do nothing about the sin, then I am thrown into hell where there is unquenchable fire. That sounds pleasant, doesn't it? Hollywood never depicts hell that way, does it? Hell is always a place where, you know, Satan's throwing some beach party and everyone's having a good time. In Hollywood, Satan is, you know, where all these sinful people go, and they're kind of like, well, just send me to hell, it's fine, that's where I belong. And they think that somehow they're just going to continue their sinful lifestyle in the underworld. Jesus speaks much, much, much differently about hell. He says the pain of hell is much worse than having to cut off a limb. The pain of hell is much worse than an unquenchable fire. It's really hard for us to fathom what hell would be like. You know, we are finite creatures. We know what it's like to have a beginning, and you know, eventually we'll know what it's like to have an end, but to think of eternity, whether that be in heaven or hell, we can't really fathom what an eternity looks like because we're created beings. Not until we get there. But I don't know about you. I don't want to have to experience unquenchable fire for eternity. I'd rather experience all of God's grace and his blessings and his mercy for eternity, all the good things. But Jesus tries to help us understand anyway, just what hell might be like. And in Mark 9, he uses the Greek word Gehenna. Gehenna was actually a place, also known as the Valley of Hinnom. It was located just outside of Jerusalem. It's this little valley right outside the city wall. Now, Gehenna is an actual place, and hell is an actual place too, but hell is not a place on earth. Jesus uses this, what it was is a trash heap, essentially. And it said that there was a perpetual fire that burned there to try to consume the refuse from the city. Not only that, but years earlier, when the people of Israel were led off into worshiping false gods, that's where they would actually sacrifice their children to the pagan god Molech. And so Gehenna, this fire that kept blazing, this trash heap, this place of false idol worship, was associated with God's judgment. with being unclean, with being cast out of God's presence. Doesn't sound like a great place to be. It was a place of all manner of suffering and torment and fire and ungodliness. Hell is a real place, and it's not somewhere we want to be. Yet if we look out into the world, we see how often people reject this. They convince themselves that heaven isn't real, or maybe hell just isn't that bad of a place. In fact, there are even some Christian teachers that teach this Christian-ish message that God's love is so vast, he would never send anyone to hell. They should read Mark 9, because clearly Jesus says that there will be some people who are thrown into hell, and who is it that is going to end up there? But it's the people who don't take their sin seriously. That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do today. You want to avoid hell? You don't want to go down there to unquenchable fire? Take sin seriously. It needs to be amputated. So often we think of repentance in our world. It's just we come here and we tell God we're sorry, but then we just go out and live our lives for the other 6 days of the week. We convince ourselves that, repentance is some sort of New Year's resolution-esque sort of thing that we're supposed to do every Sunday morning. And then as long as we do that, we'll continue on for a few minutes, but it's okay. We'll just go back next Sunday. Jesus tells us something different about repentance. Repentance is drastic. It's an amputation. It's not a half-hearted promise. And if we know anything about amputation, we know that it certainly hurts. If something's amputated, it means that you are losing something, that it costs you something. To deny our flesh, what our flesh wants to do, yeah, that hurts. That's not easy. To deny the lies of the world, to be the Christian wet blanket when everybody else is having fun, that hurts. To have to be completely separated from the world and going against the grain, it hurts. To have to continue to fight against the lies that the evil world and Satan are trying to make us believe, it hurts. But what's the alternative? Unquenchable fire. The consequences are dire. Just as we started, Jesus knows that we could cut off our appendages, but he knows it won't help. And he knows our condition too, that we are so beset with sin that we try to do this over and over again. We go against the grain. We live our Christian lives. We are those voices for truth in our daily vocations. We struggle against our sin. And God knows that we fail time and time again. That no matter how many times we repent, no matter how many times we confess, we still can't live perfectly. And God knows, too, that we still would like to avoid hell. So the first part is contrition. It's being honest about your sin. It's repenting. It's never giving up that fight, even though you know it's a losing battle for you. And the second part is far more important. And that's continually seeking the strength of Christ. In the scriptures, Jesus is called the great physician. And you know what he does with poor, miserable sinners like you and me? Amputation. He sees the sin in our life and he cuts it out. He separates you from your sin, just like if we had to cut off our hand, but he separates us as far as the east is from the west. He gouges that sin out of your life and he declares, you are forgiven. Because he knows that you can't cut it out completely, not on your own. He knows you need his help. This is the great gift of the cross. This is why he willingly sacrificed himself. Because first what he did was he did live perfectly. He goes to the cross as a whole man with both hands, with both feet, with both eyes, and he had never sinned, not even once in his life. And then he lays down that life for you. He gives himself into death. He sheds his blood. That way your sin could be removed. That way your sin could be taken away. And we talk about how repentance has a cost. This forgiveness that Christ wins for us, this comes at great cost. The cost of God's life. The cost of God's blood. Jesus is forsaken by God, not just having a hand cut off, but clean cut off from the Father. Because he becomes the maximum sinner on the cross, taking on all of the sins of the entire world, yours, mine, everyone's. He endures God's wrath, and he enters a proverbial Gehenna. He endures all of the pain of hell. And of course, he dies. Because that's the price. That's the price for your forgiveness. That's the price for your eternity in heaven. We know this. The question is what do we do with it? Forgiveness, life, salvation. Jesus has won it for you. He's purchased it full and free. Do we use that gift? Do we live according to his promises and his word? Or do we treat our repentance as a New Year's resolution? Do we treat repentance as something that has no cost to us? My friends, God wants you to live a Christian life according to his word. He wants you to lament your sin and to bring it to this place where you can hear that in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. He wants you to bring your sin here as you approach the altar. That way when his body and his blood touch your lips, it will be utterly wiped out and cut away. God wants us to live the struggle against sin. Because as we trust in him and as we lament our sin, we know that eternal life is a certainty for us. You're Christians. My friends, don't let anybody take that away from you. You are Christians called to faith, to believe in Jesus, and to follow God's commands wherever you go. And truth be told, it won't be easy. The world tells you to rejoice in sin. Your bodies tell you to rejoice in sin. Satan and the forces of evil tempt you to rejoice in sin. But Christ has something far better. Is not to lose your limbs, but to enter eternal life as a whole, forgiven child of God by believing in Jesus' death and resurrection for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.